Hi, I'm Leisha, and this is my sister, Kyle.
Hey, I'm Kyle, and that's my sister, Leisha.
Welcome to
the Long Lost Sisters Podcast.
Hello. We are going to be chatting about our clinic this week and the intricacies a little bit behind sperm donations and infertility industry. I'm going to be telling you a little bit about some research that I've done in preparation to speaking about this topic, and also sharing a little bit about the clinic where Kyle and I were both conceived at.
Yes. I'm super excited for this one, as I always am. But I think that we're gonna kind of open up a lot more like actual research too that has been done. Leisha's the MVP of this one. So yeah, you wanna dive in?
Yeah. So for starters, I'm going to chat a little bit about our clinic, which we have shared a bit about. It was based in Berkeley, California, and run by twin doctors named the Biernick brothers. At this clinic, from what we've been told by our siblings, they explicitly told at least one family that there would be no more than 10 births from this specific donor. On top of that, they also made a lot of claims about what our donor's ethnicity was,
profession,
interests, really everything about him.
Yeah. And just on like that note too, I was talking to my bio mom this weekend about a theory that I had that I might have said on the podcast already. I know I've told Leisha this, but that I think that the clinic would have parents come in and they'd ask the parents questions about themselves. And then they would say, oh, we have this perfect donor, and say that our donor matched whatever criteria they thought the parents wanted to hear, regardless of what that was, because it was different for different people. And my mom was like, oh yeah, they interviewed me, and then they did that exact thing where they're like, oh look, this guy.
Yeah. So how do we hold this clinic accountable is the big question that everybody's wondering. And unfortunately, it's a pretty complicated answer. For starters, the Biernick brothers have passed away, so we can't hold those two liable. We can do research and find the other nurses and support staff, but we're not exactly sure what that's worth. Also, to hold them accountable, we have to have proof that they have done wrongdoing legally to us, right? If you Google a little bit, you can find, or you may have heard about, a lawsuit in Oregon where a donor is suing OHSU, the Oregon Health and Science University in Portland, for $5.25 million. He is able to do this because he himself signed a contract with the clinic. He was a first-year medical resident at the time who had been encouraged to donate. So he signed a contract with them saying that he would only have 5 children. And he was also told that these 5 children would not live in the state of Oregon, and should be living on the East Coast. None of this is true. He has 17 confirmed kids currently, and believes that there are a lot more. On top of that, the bulk of his children all lived in Oregon. He has 3 children and didn't want there to be any chance that his children would grow up near siblings that they didn't know, because that's not okay. So he's suing, and he's able to because he signed that contract. But unfortunately, right, for us, we didn't get to sign any contract. We didn't make this choice.
And from what we know, none of our parents signed a contract saying that either.
No, not yet, though. We are hoping.
We're on the hunt.
Yeah, we are hoping that maybe somebody digs up something that says there was supposed to be a cap on how many siblings we would have. But it doesn't seem likely. There's also a case in Ottawa, in Canada, that's a class action lawsuit for $13 million. The $13 million negotiated settlement was divided between the spouse, partner, former patient, or child, as well as the mother and the donors, like the sperm donors, because in this case, the doctor, the fertility doctor, used his semen instead of the donor's semen. So even if a parent or a family chose a specific donor, he didn't use them, he used himself. So there's 244 claimants that will be splitting the $13 million, which again is different from us because that didn't happen. However, we are hoping that maybe there's a chance we could do a class action lawsuit against the state of California. If anybody might know more about that, that'd be great. There is an overall guidance issued by the American Society for Reproductive Medicine that is a professional group that recommends restricting conceptions by an individual donor to 25 births per a population of 800,000, which is a bit confusing.
Yeah, it's a bit confusing, and it's also just a recommendation.
It is. So the problem with that is that the U.S. is pretty far behind a lot of other countries globally. Particularly in Britain, Sweden, and France, there are legal limits on how many kids one donor can father, where there's no such law in the U.S. On the other hand, or in addition to this, I should say, in the United Kingdom, in 2005, they created a law that any child born after that time is allowed to know who their biological father is at the age of 18, thus ending anonymous donor conceptions.
And so a lot of times we have heard, I know you and I have personally heard.
All the times, yes.
Well, if you get rid of anonymous donation, there won't be as many donors. Is this true in the case of the UK?
No, it is not. There has not been a decrease in the number of donors since the following of the non-anonymity.
Say that three times fast.
You try and say that. Yeah, all right. I'm not saying that one again. Sorry. Which that's just a lot of info in your face. All of that. We'll link all the articles in the show notes. So if you'd like to verify what I'm saying and read it more in depth on your own, please feel free to do such. They're really great articles.
It's also just like, even this little bit is helpful to let people who aren't necessarily in our shoes take like a quick glimpse into what we have to deal with. In any attempt to find any sort of like rights ourselves or way to like correct, quote unquote, correct the system.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that there are only recommendations in the United States and that there are also so few recommendations on top of that.
True.
And that we continue to be behind, seemingly, the rest of the world. Yeah. Or, you know, a lot of the developed world in these issues. And I'm curious why you think that might be. I feel like I start to sound a little conspiracy theory-ish when I talk about it because it does very much feel like it's a money-based issue.
Oh, no. I was going to say that my opinion is capitalism and that, unfortunately, the fertility industry has become a for-profit space. And I have discovered since starting this podcast and diving deep into the donor-conceived world, there are a few not-for-profit sperm banks and fertility clinics. But there aren't many. Most of them are for profit, which shouldn't be surprising in the United States. I did find that the last time the DC law changed in California was in beginning of January 2016. California has a new law, AB 960, that better protects families having children through assisted reproduction, but it's just like protecting the parents again. It's not at all about the kids. It's not about anonymous or non-anonymous. It's not about how many siblings. It's not about any of the topics that us kids actually personally care about. So thanks, but you're not there yet. Keep going though.
Nice try, I guess.
It's been a while. I think it's time for a new law.
Yeah. And I saw somebody post about fertility fraud legislation, which in most cases is like what you were talking about in the lawsuit in Canada, where the doctor was replacing other semen with his own. Mm-hmm. That's usually when they say fertility fraud, that's more often what people are talking about. And in the United States, there are only 8 states that have actual legislation regarding fertility fraud and nothing else, just that. There's 8 states that have proposed legislation, which means that there are 34 states with no legislation and also no proposed legislation. So they're not even like attempting to do anything, even about this like one very specific issue.
That like apparently is very prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nobody really realized how many people struggle with fertility and how often they need help. And that's totally okay.
For sure.
But also a lot of times these doctors were telling these parents not to tell their children that they were ever donor conceived.
Yeah. My mom said that that was true in her case too.
What?
And my mom is gay, so that's another joke that we make in my family is that I'm the second coming of Jesus. Because like, how else would it have happened? Also, I'm Jewish, so it checks out.
I mean, I can't say you're wrong. Except
we
I
all
can.
We're all Jesus.
We're all Jesus. I mean, there are a lot of us, and we're a growing army, so beware.
So, in the United States, the fertility industry as a whole, which is not just donor conception, there's a lot more to it, but donor, gamete, all of the different kinds of donation is a big part of that. And it is an $8 billion with a B, billion-dollar industry in the U.S. alone. So if you're curious why none of these things have changed, I think that's...
I think that's why.
Yeah, that is a good indicator as to why and that people think saying sperm too many times is icky. So who wants to write legislature about it?
Sperm. Well, please reach out, because if not, you're going to hear... and an unnecessary amount of the word sperm and a bill coming up soon that kind of we're going to raise together.
It just is, to me, an issue of, in certain states, including the state I live in, the great state of Texas, there's a lot of legislation right now happening about women's bodies and abortion and the right to choose and all of those sorts of things. And they really like to act like they love to protect children here. And there are very many issues with all of that. But my point is, nobody wants to dig into this to us and the issues that we face and other people like us face. And it sucks. It also sucks to see, like, in that case in Canada where they're like, oh, if you had an additional child, here's another 10,000. Like, the first one is worth 25,000 to 50,000. The second one, you get an extra $10,000. Which feels weird, but, like, I'm glad that something is happening at the same time. Also, we would really like a travel fund for our siblings to be able to see each other and bond and be in one space. So, like, if we could get a chunk to get flights and an Airbnb together and things like that, where it's like, yeah, okay. What I'm saying is like, oh, you guys just want to throw parties and have fun. And it's like, no, we're bonding with our family.
Yeah. And then we might not be able to otherwise because it's expensive and it's hard to get everyone together.
We have siblings in other countries.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like that are younger and still in school or like working on their career and in different countries and different states.
Yeah. It just seems like there has to be something that we can do to take back a little control. And that's what we're attempting to do with this.
Yeah, for sure.
Bringing up these issues. If you're a lawyer and you have any insight, please DM us or, you know, get a hold of us.
Or someone who is a lawyer that might be interested, perhaps.
Yeah. Even just to have a conversation about it, you know, like, we're just curious to see.
Someone calls it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, like, things need to change. And we have a specific knowledge and a specific experience. Like, this is how our clinic did things. But we also know people who have been born through other clinics who have like similar stories or like slightly different but not great stories. Like, it's more widespread than you would think if you're not like actively listening to DC people.
Yeah. I think it's one of those situations where it can so easily be invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how everybody wants it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not how we want it, and that's not how we need it. And
yeah,
it's far more hurtful to hide the truth about somebody until they find out at a really late age. I mean, I've seen on this Facebook group somebody talking about how they just did a DNA test and like both of their parents have passed away, so they can't even talk to them about it or anything. And now their whole identity has shifted and they just have to navigate it on their own. And
yeah.
I mean, that could be the case for some of our siblings that we don't know yet. We don't know. I mean, we could be finding out about siblings for the rest of our lives. We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, we will be.
Oh, God.
If we think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. I'll think about it. I'm gonna think about it. It's okay.
Not to bring up another thing.
No, it's fine. It's fine. This is great. It's a great time.
To say, like, oh, I don't know why this would affect you so much. Like, you're here, you seem to be, like, doing well in your life, you know, whatever, you're adults now. How does this have, like, such a big effect on you? Like, listen to us talk. Listen to us talk to each other as adult people who were strangers 3 years ago. Listen to us talk as, like, two people who attempt to take back 26 and 29 years of not knowing you had siblings. these people that you like really care about. And now you're like, all right, figure it out. While also being like, how can we make sure that other people who are born the way that we were born don't have to go through this?
Listen, help us make change.
It's important. Like, yeah, we have a bunch of like stories and we make jokes about it because like, what else are you gonna do? It's a real struggle.
It is. Well, I'm also just trying to like communicate how hard it is to know that it's going to be such a challenge to get us all together, to get to have like a sibling family reunion.
Yep.
And that's what we would like more than anything. And just getting to know our siblings on a real level, because you can't fully do that in a Discord or on a video chat, even though we try, and we try hard. We really do. And it's not the same.
Think about a stat, like you're in a meeting at work and you have 5 people, you have 10 people in a video call. Is it easy for you to connect? Is it easy to not talk over one another? Is it easy for you to like get into deep shit? No, it's not. Like how do you know a full person without like being able to sit in a room, a person that you share half of your DNA with, and you're just like, well, this is what you have. Like, I guess you'll just have to have video chats for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And or spend all of your money, all of your vacation days trying to build these bonds.
Yeah.
Which is what we've been doing personally, because it's worth it for us. Mm-hmm. But it's also expensive for Kyle, because Kyle is a saint who flies out to me because I have a little one. Yeah.
Yeah. And it is building a connection with my siblings is incredibly important to me, to us.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was in California for a week, just a couple weeks ago. And I desperately want to go back for Alicia's birthday in May. And then we've been talking about other things in June. And I have a full-time job. Like, how are you supposed to be able to do that? I have a relationship here. I have a full-time job. I don't have, like, a huge amount of money that I can just pull from to buy plane tickets all the time. But, like, if I had my choice, like, if I had my way, I would be there once a month.
And I think what the main issue that we're trying to get out here is that if we had known about each other from the start, none of these issues would be here necessarily. At least we would have all made the cognizant choice to move away. And that's totally fine if we did. Yeah. We all probably would have, but we also could have made the choice to move back together after college, or
right.
It's not really fair that we haven't been giving up the opportunity.
Yeah, just the ability to know, like, I don't know, if I had known that I would want to take all of these trips back to the West Coast, there are certain decisions I made in my early 20s that I might not have made, and like maybe then I'd have a little bit more savings and like that sort of thing, but I didn't have that information at the time, and I didn't think I would ever have that information.
No. I mean, I was told that there's nothing. We don't have any documents. We don't have any information. There's no donor number. There's nothing. So I'm so grateful for DNA testing. Mm-hmm. That's been great.
We're still looking at you, 23andMe and Ancestry.
And there's others now, too. So
and everybody else.
Hello. We're here. Which... we do have some key things we'd like to change with the industry. We'd like to have no more anonymous donors. We would like to have a cap on how many siblings there and / births that there are from one donor, and to know those siblings growing up. We would like an actual full health history, because currently they're sometimes required to give some medical history, but they're not actually checked. They will nowadays hold the semen under quarantine for 6 months to check it retest it for HIV and hepatitis, but they're not checking for anything else.
Yeah.
They're not going into if that semen carries cystic fibrosis or
Tay-Sachs
or anything else, but the things I said. And like an actual background check, that's not really done. I think there also needs to be a penalty, for those that are not following those standards.
Yeah,
there has to be accountability. For starters, there needs to be a standard because there is none, and mm-hmm. that's pretty messed up.
Yeah. What other medical field doesn't have like a set standards. Of standards?
Also, I would like to note here that I mentioned that I did consider being an egg donor. I did look into the very long PDF of pages of information that they wanted me to provide and little paragraphs about myself that I'd have to provide so that somebody would want to choose my eggs. And I don't know if that's like because I was looking at this and I don't know, like 2016 maybe. So well after the 90s, but you know they're not doing that much for them.
No, in fact, while we were researching this, we went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with the egg donation versus sperm donation and all of these things.
Yeah, and how are they getting marketed?
Right. And I ended up on a page, which is a whole thing that we could get into, the way that they market to young women about egg donation. It's gross. Also, what's gross, I ended up on a sperm donation page for the Fairfax Cryobank because we were looking at how much money a donor can make. And what we found was like on average for a dude who's donating like once or twice a week, you can make like $4,000 in a month, which is a good chunk of money.
It's a lot these days.
Also, what I found there was that this particular sperm bank, and I'm sure others, tell the potential donors to discuss any donor bonus opportunities with their local team. And they say that these bonuses are things such as a student bonus and a frequent donation bonus.
And more.
Frequent effing donation. Like, oh yeah, please come and give us more. Why? Because you only want to make 5 kids? There's no, like, oh, okay, cool. So we're still creating hundreds of siblings who aren't going to know about each other.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Inbreeding's totally fine, right?
It's also so not fun. Telling
people that they're unintentionally inbreeding, it's even better. Let me tell you.
It doesn't make us anxious.
No, I don't occasionally stay up at night just nervously tweaking out about these topics at all. It's fine. No, I don't often, just occasionally.
Just every once in a while. But the difference, again, it kind of like the difference between so egg donation. Wait, mm-hmm. what you were talking about, Alicia, mm-hmm. this weekend mm-hmm. during my conversation with my mother, mm-hmm. she said that she also looked into egg donation at one point mm-hmm. Because she had like a very easy time getting pregnant and she knew she wasn't going to have any kids after me. And the place that she looked at, you had to already have had a child, which makes me think that they're either making sure that you won't want to like claim the kids who are born through your egg or that they know that there's a chance that they're going to mess up your reproductive system. So like have a kid before we do this in case anything goes wrong.
I mean,
and then you're fine.
I'm more likely to believe that because the hormones.
Yes. Right.
Kind of risky business.
Yeah. And egg retrieval is more invasive than sperm donation. Obviously.
You have to go through a minor surgery.
Right. As opposed to pleasuring yourself. Like, yeah. And then, like, you couldn't, my mom said she was also, like, disqualified because you couldn't have, like, any family history of addiction.
Hmm.
Our dad, our sperm supplier, just drew a line through all of the no's on the health history and wrote no health history, like no, nothing, basically nothing is wrong in the family, which is impossible. That there's nobody has anything wrong with them in the entire two generations back or whatever. And they're not checking. Nobody's checking. Nobody's like, oh, wait,
they don't give an F. They're like,
they don't do a physical even.
No, because they just want money. And if somebody's going to pay for that sperm and if that sperm's going to work, then excuse me, sir, yeah. Over here. Thank you. Oh, would you like room one or room two today? Your favorite? He probably did.
I'm sure he did.
I mean, as we joke, he was their only supplier.
Yeah. So like Leisha was saying, it's not like we're asking for a ton, you know, like no anonymous donors. That's one thing. Full health history. A check that health history is correct. And that they do whatever they say that they're doing at the time. And maybe that there's no like blaring mental illness. Potentially. I don't know. That even is, like, not my top thing, but...
That was in the lawsuit I mentioned in The Atlantic, which we'll also put that article in the show notes here. But yeah. That's what those people are upset about, because this guy suffered from mental illness, and that's okay, but lying about it... It's not okay. That's not okay, bud. Not okay.
Yeah. And I... cap on the number of siblings. Like, we're literally asking for a handful of things.
Also, like, basic things. Basic standards.
Right.
Right. So ideally, maybe we can actually make this happen. Please help us. That'd be phenomenal.
Yeah. I just think that it's really important to make people aware, because I don't think that people really think about it or know. Also, a lot of the times the reaction that I've gotten when I say, like, oh, I could have easily 100 siblings is like, wow, cool.
Yeah.
I don't care for that response because it's like it's not cool.
It's not cool. I don't think people are thinking, unfortunately. And, you know, it's really not cool to have 100 plus siblings that you don't know about. You don't know where they live. You don't know when you'll ever meet them. It's not super fun, actually. It's not.
No.
We do like to try and make it fun because you have to.
It's our life. You have, yeah.
This was a rocky one on my end, so thanks for bearing with me through a lot of that knowledge that I dumped upon you.
Leisha went deep into the world of knowledge and lawsuits and issues in this. I'm very grateful that you did. I think that there's a lot of good information, so please check out the links that we'll be posting. It really brings to light some of the issues that we've talked about. I think just kind of quickly going back to the donor who's suing, he seems like a nice dude from, you know, the news, the little bit that you can get from a news article, but also he's the one that's suing for $5.25 million. So there's no guarantee that his kids will see
any of that. Yeah.
Any of that. Unless, like, he chooses to do that. And I don't know him personally, so I couldn't tell you. But it does seem a little fucked to me that the kids are just like, there's not, you know, they didn't sign a contract. So, too bad.
Yeah. His daughter was with him. She has not joined the lawsuit yet, but she stated It feels like OHSU really didn't take into consideration the fact that they were creating humans. They were reckless with this, and it feels like it was just money and numbers to them.
Snap to that.
Which, yeah, I think is pretty much exactly what we said as well.
I mean, are the doctors from the Biernick brothers were considered like experts in the field and like pioneers too, which is why my mom said that she went to them.
Which is great for them and bad for us.
Exactly, because it means that they made it work a lot. Which, like, congratulations to them. Good for the parents, I guess, who wanted to make children and couldn't otherwise, but, like, bummer for us. We miss out on a whole lot.
Yep.
This is what it sounds like to process years of information and more specific information than I think either of us have really gotten into as far as being donor conceived in quite a while, if ever. And so we understand that it might be a lot for somebody who's not in our position to process, because it's a lot for us to process too. But just try to put yourself on this side.
Yeah.
Of not having information and not knowing where to start.
That's exactly right.
Which is why we're starting here.
Yeah. We're starting here, and maybe one day we'll have an answer and be able to refer back to here or have exciting news about changes made. One can hope. Or ideally, we'll one day have all of our siblings together and we'll get to either have them all on the podcast and it'll be a hot, hot mess. Or we'll be able to tell you about it. Either way, it's a dream that we have.
Yeah.
We really wanted to get our sisters together. Just the sisters. And that's hard on its own. And that's even a fewer group than the whole group.
Right.
So yeah. Thank you for listening and attempting to put yourself in our shoes. Try real hard, because it's definitely something that you really gotta get in them shoes and like really make yourself comfy, and then you need to walk like not just 1 mile, but maybe let's go
several.
Yeah, like a few miles. Really, really ponder what it would be like to grow up knowing nothing about yourself and or finding out late in life that everything you thought about yourself wasn't exactly true, and that you have a lot of siblings.
And that your parent or parents deliberately chose this for you.
Yeah, and like all the lies.
It's not like a oopsie pregnancy. It's not, I thought that this was going to work out and it didn't work out, relationship thing. It is, I deliberately chose to keep half of my child's information from my child potentially forever. It doesn't make our parents bad people. It just makes it weird for us.
Yeah.
And difficult. And it adds a layer to things. Our parents are not, for that reason, bad people.
No. I mean, struggling with fertility doesn't make you a bad person.
Not at all. Wanting to have a child, I understand. I get it. I really, really get it. I deeply understand that. Choosing to keep information of from your child is not okay.
No.
And the doctors who let that happen and who tell them to keep even more information from their child should be held accountable.
They should be held accountable. And the system needs to change. It shouldn't be occurring anymore. There's no reason or excuse or any logic I can think to at this point when you're just harming people.
Yep. Yeah. What, like the Hippocratic Oath, this, like, where is that in this?
Non-existent.
So maybe listen to this one a couple times to get all of the, listen to this one, read the articles, come back and listen to it again and see where we're at with this. we would love to have a donor have a conversation with us, preferably on the record.
Yeah.
So that we could see it from the other side.
Yeah, we just are very curious to hear your perspective and learn more.
Yeah. So if you happen to be a donor and you're listening to this, please reach out to us. If you're a lawyer, if you know a lawyer who would like to have a conversation with us, we would love to make that happen.
Or if you're a politician.
Yep. If you're any sort of like lawmaker, if you are, if you're involved in advocacy in any way, we would love to talk to you and also connect you with some of the organizations that we're familiar with across the world at this point to start to make those changes. And at the very least, to make this information known.
Yeah, we're trying. We're starting to spread that word. So all we can do is keep trying, keep working.
Yeah.
Asking for help and assistance.
Yeah. It's heavy. It feels heavy. This week, I felt pretty heavy. And it's like we talked about in our sibling episode, there were times where it just feels a little bit more overwhelming than other times. And this one in particular was a little bit that for me, and that's okay. But I really think that it's important that we put this information out there, and that's like not only for like the fun chats that we're gonna have together and like the getting to know you things that we'll continue to do throughout this that are just as important to us. This is not a small deal.
It's not. It's also about a lot of the topics that people either don't ask questions about or are asking questions that unintentionally
bury this.
Exactly. The like, oh wow, so cool to have so many siblings. Oh, but a lot of people don't know their family, et cetera, et cetera. Like, can you, you know how some things we just keep to ourselves? Let's work on some more of that around this topic and work more on listening to those that were conceived this way. Work on changing things so that there's no more hundreds of siblings from one anonymous donor. Especially for their whole lives. Like, can you really believe, like, can somebody really look me in my eyes and tell me that they truly believe it is perfectly fine for them to keep somebody's in, like, known biological information for them? Like, if you know it and you're just keeping it a secret from somebody, please come to me and look me in my face and tell me exactly why. And if you can, I will first applaud you and then we'll have a conversation.
Yeah, real shit. For sure.
On that note, you can find us at Long Lost Sisters Podcast on Instagram, Long Lost Sis Pod on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Kyle, do you have anything else?
Yeah, just thank you. We know that this one had a lot more like data and information to walk through, but we're about to get fun. Not that this isn't fun, this is fun, but we're going to have some real sister chats and are excited for you to come along on those too. So thank you. We will see you next week.
Yeah, chat soon.
Bye. Bye.
We're having fun.